Turn to the book of Revelations, chapter 3. And I'm going to use a verse of scripture out of there in verse 20 down through 22. And then I'm going to jump over to chapter 5 and verse 9 there. And then I'm going to go to the book of Revelations. I mean, not the book of Revelation, because that's what we're going to be in. But in the book of Daniel, chapter 3 and verse 24 there. Alrighty. This right here is at the end of the church age. And it's where the people, the places, the churches, and everything, they've got the wrong attitude about the scripture and about the end times. But it says right here, it says, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock." Don't you take a little phrase, don't you remember this? Behold, I stand at the door and knock. That's the Lord Jesus Christ standing on the outside of the church door, knocking and wanting to come in. But he's having nobody to come and answer the door. Have nobody to come and to check and see who's outside knocking on the door. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him and will sup with him and he with me. To him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame and am set down with my Father in his throne. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. That's all the churches, all the different type nominations. He is speaking. He is standing on the outside of every church door when the church is about ready to go up. And the reason for this is one of the last invitations that he gives while the church is still standing and still here. Now, the church itself is none other than but the people that has been saved by the grace of God and knows him in a personal, intimate way. Now, we see where it says, where they overcometh, will I grant to sit with me. Other words, he's standing outside the church doors at the end time, and when he's about ready to go, take his church out, he's standing there knocking on the door, and the only thing he wants to do, he just wants to come in, but he will not come in on his own. He has to have an invitation to come into the local church. That's just like when we go to him, he has to have an invitation from us to when we go to him and want to be saved. We have to acknowledge him. We have to go to him. We have to tell him exactly what we want. That's what he's doing now. That's what he's doing around now to all the people, all the Christians, and all the ones that said, that they are Christians, that they used to go to church, but now something happened, the pastor said something that they didn't approve of, or somebody in the church said the wrong thing or whatever, and it got the feelings hurt. Well, I don't understand how your feelings get to your shoulders. Because once your feelings get to your shoulders, it don't take much at all to knock that feeling off of the shoulder. And when that feeling is knocked off of the shoulder, there's another feeling that's going to come up and be placed on the shoulder again. So just because he get upset with me here at this church, just because they get upset with me because I might have said something that they didn't understand, that they leave the church. They leave the church because of what I may have said, and they took it the wrong way. But what they're telling me, what each and every individual that's out of the will of God and at home today, that used to be in church, and one time they got saved, but now they're out of church because of their hurt feelings. They're doing nothing. They're blaming me because I said something that they misinterpreted, or they took it the wrong way, or whatever. They say that it was my fault, the reason that they left the church. No, it won't. They're not mad at me. They're mad at God. They're mad at God because God allowed somebody to come out and say something that may have hit their little pet sin, reveal their pet sin. Now, I don't know. That's one thing that I've never done. I've never asked nobody what kind of problem they have or whatever, and get up here and preach on that particular individual or their problems or whatever. No, I stand up here and I pray that I'm led by the Holy Spirit of God, that what words that I do say will penetrate your heart for joy, being relieved of different things in the life. But what the problem is, they always want to blame somebody else. They always want to blame the pastor. They always want to blame the deacon. They always want to blame somebody there in the church. And then after they start that, then after they get through with that, then they start wanting to blame God. They want to blame God because I'm here and I'm doing the preaching, and they got upset with me. They blame God for that. Well, they don't have no business at all to blame God for nothing. Because the only thing God has for them is L-O-V-E, love. That love means loyalty. The Lord Jesus Christ, He is loyal to each one of us. And as he's being loyal to us, we need to give him some loyalty. We need to respect him. We need to take the O out of love and remember that the O stands for obedience. Obedience to who? We need to be obedient to God. Now, I don't need to be obedient to my wife. I don't need to be obedient to the deacon. I ain't supposed to be obedient to no one else but God the Father. He's got to be number one. I've got to be obedient unto him. And if I'm loyal to the Lord, loyal to God, and I'm obedient to God, I'm going to be loyal to you. I'm going to respect you. And I also am going to obey the decisions that you make. Obedience. We not only need to have obedience just to God, but we need to have obedience to each other. When we have obedience to each other, then that's when we'll come down to where Jesus won't just be standing outside the door knocking. Yes, you can hear the knock. I mean, that's just like you go out on visitation. You go visit somebody that somebody tells you about, says they're not in church. They got 2-3 children. None of them in church. Would you mind going and visit them? I know them. And we go. I'll go. Me and Brother Bill will go. We'll go up to the trailer or the house that they live in. And we'll knock on the door. Knock on the door. Waiting for them to come to the door. But they don't come to the door, but we hear movement. We can look through the window there on the door or the picture window, whatever. And we can see them in there walking around. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him. That's what this verse of scripture right here is all about. It's about me and you as Christians going out and doing God's work. Going out and just speaking and talking to people. We don't need to tell them how to get saved. We don't need to tell them that they need to be in church. We don't need to tell them that God loves them. They know all of that. Because we're in the Bible Belt. And we have preached and preached and preached to where everybody believes it. But yet, they don't believe. They don't believe it. They just soon stand, they're just going, just like any church. There's some churches right here in the city of Danville. And my prayer is that I hope and pray to God that we do not get that replacement. Because so we can just forget about God. And we make coming to church a regular habit and a routine. I had a former pastor tell me one time, and he was telling the church also after that, he says, anything that you want to do, it can be a habit, and you can make it a habit. And he got some looks like that, said, what in the world are you talking about? How in the world can you have a habit? And then that habit, you're going to make it a habit. So he explained it. And it's true. What the other habit is, what the first habit is all about, is where the second habit that I'm speaking about, it's where we first got saved. First got saved. We could not hold it. We could not keep it to ourselves. We had to share it with somebody. We had to tell somebody what God had just done for our life. I can remember the day that I got saved. The second Monday in August of 1980, 7 o'clock in my den right there where I live at. The next morning I went to church. I went to work. The next morning I went to work. And the individual that was over the company at that time, he wasn't the owner or nothing. He was just like a supervisor or something like that. He come up to me, he said, Donnie, he says, what's happened to you? I said, what do you mean, what's happened to me? He said, man, you come in here this morning, look like somebody give you $1 million. Says you look more happy. You got a better outlook. I can see that in your face. And I said, yeah. I said, Robert, you know what happened? He said, what happened? I said, last night I had 3 men come to my house. One of them was a Sunday school teacher. Now, Sunday school teacher, he just come out, and he didn't pull no punches. He just asked me flat out, would I want to go to heaven, or would I want to go to hell? You got 2 choices. God gives us a choice. But he don't push that choice on us. We have to make a decision for that choice. And I says, last night I got saved. And I have definitely, something has changed in my heart. Something has changed in my life. Then the owner of the company come in. I forgot what type of faith he was all in. I forgot all about that. And he come in, he looked at me. He said, man, you look awful cheerful today. I said, yes, sir, I am. He said, why? I said, I just got saved last night. He said, what? I said, yeah, I just got saved last night. He's in the women there. He ain't come back the first time. He was a bona fide Jew. And I said, well, I don't know about you, but he has come my way. And he's come my way. I mean, it was after the first time, too. Because I tell you what, he's the only one that could change this inside of my heart and change my outlook and change my thoughts and everything. But I was telling everybody. I was inviting everybody to church. I mean, I had some friends, some colored friends, that I would go and sit down with them and their family and eat their food from the table. And I'd tell them. And I just tell them, I said, I don't know what you got to do. I don't know what you have to do it and get it done. But I said, I'm going to tell you something. I'm going to just tell you what he done for me. He saved my soul. He saved my soul. Now I'm on the way to heaven. I can't go to hell if I want to. That's one of the glorious things that I know of, is that I cannot do anything to get lost. He saved me. He does it right the first time. It ain't no second time to it. It ain't no third time. You got some people out here believe that, yeah, I'm saved. He saved my soul. I'm saved from inside and out. Hey, Brother Roy to tell me, said he asked the man, he said, what'd you just say? He said, yeah, I'm saved from inside out and I'm sanctified and all of that. He said, Brother Roy says, no, wait a minute. Your flesh, your outside is not saved. He said, yes, it is. He said, my inside saved it. My outside's got to be saved. Roy says, no, it ain't. Because when you go to the grave, what's going to happen then? Body there. It's going to decay. You can look up in the Old Testament. I believe it's in the book of Deuteronomy. I believe it is. Or Leviticus 1. It says life is in the blood. The blood gives life. When an individual don't have no more life, they don't have no more blood. So the blood is not just drained from his skin. The blood drains from inside to out. Not outward to inside. The flesh will not enter in heaven. It will not enter into heaven. But when we get there in heaven there, there's going to be a new song. Chapter 5 and verse 9. And they sung a new song. A new song. Saying, thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain, for thou wast slain, and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation. The new song, speaking of the new song at the first, but also in the latter part of chapter 9, it gives us a title of that song, that new song that we are going to sing. And it says right here, it says, "For thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by the blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nations, and hast made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth." Over there in the book of Daniel, chapter 3, Daniel saying there in verse 24, says, "Then Nebuchadnezzar the king was astonished, and rose up with haste, and spake and said unto his counselors, Did not we cast three bound into the midst of the fire? And they answered and said unto the king, True, O king." The governors, all the principalities, everything that was there that had a higher standard in life, where people looked up to, where people took orders from, we're having the same thing happening today. People are taking orders from one another. Christians are finding themselves, they're taking orders from the pastor. They're taking orders from the people. They're taking orders. The only order we need to take is the order of God. The order of God is the only order we need to be taking. And if we'll take his orders, and if we're loyal to him, and if we're obedient to him, we don't have to worry about everything else coming into place, because it's going to automatically come into place. You know, that's people today take this scripture. They will take one verse out of the Bible, out of the chapter, a verse that they don't particularly like. They will spend hours, they will spend days, and they will spend weeks, they will spend months and years searching out the Bible to try to take that verse of scripture that they don't particularly care about, and they can analyze it. They can do everything they want to it. But yet, they'll come right back and say, "I don't believe that. I just don't believe it." Well, I know that what I'm holding you here today is the King James Bible in the English form. Now I know that they had to go in and change some of the words or spell them a different way because of the Hebrew, the Greek, and yes, some Latin there, that where we don't even know how to pronounce it, much less understand what it means. But yet, we get so bogged down with something like that, just to try to analyze that one verse of Scripture. And when I hear people talk about that, I just don't believe God meant it that way. Well, I'll tell you what. I preach from the King James Bible. That's the only thing I'll call the church. And I says, on top of that, I believe what it says from cover to cover. I said, yes, some of it, I don't understand it, but I don't worry about it. Because when I get to the point in my life, in my Christian life, I need that verse. And I need the understanding of that verse. That's when they'll give it to me. They'll give me the right words. And they'll give it to me in a way that it's written in the one book. And that book is stored in heaven. Man has not looked on that book. Man cannot look on that book. Not until after we've gone home. And when the Lord comes to us and he asks us about why did we do this or why did we believe that? Yes, and we're going to give him an answer. And a whole lot of times it's going to be a wrong answer. But he's going to say, Jesus. Why did he say one book? Why did he say many books? You would think it would be that way. Many books because it would be right many that get saved. But see, we don't have the mind of God. We don't have the thoughts that God has. We can't comprehend in what God is doing and what he's saying. We just have to take it by his word. And as he speaks to our heart through reading his word, you know, that's the only way God will speak to you. That's the only way God speaks to me. It's when I get in the book. And I read it. And I cherish it. Well, there in Daniel, the king, he was throwing a party or shindig or what you want to call it. But he was having all the high up officials to come. And he got to thinking about that. He says, I know I didn't mention all of them. I know I didn't get in touch with all of them. And I want them to know. I want them to be here. He done the same thing as they're doing today. They're putting out billboards. Advertising. The advertising at Golden Calf. The advertising, the golden statue. The advertising what Nebuchadnezzar done. Wanting them to come by. Hadn't even mentioned God. We see, he met with Daniel. When he met with Daniel, he also, Daniel introduced him to three Hebrew boys. There was four there that was praying for the king. They didn't look at the king like he ain't nobody because of what he wanted to do to us. No. He's a somebody. He cared for us. And the king says, well, the billboard signs will do it. The billboard signs that I'm going to have put up will attract the people. Will attract the high up people, the officials. And it will attract other people too to come. And to see what I have built. They're doing it the same day today. Same thing. I know of churches right now. I believe the Holy Spirit can get on the outside of the door. Knock. Wanting to come in. Nobody will come and answer the door and invite them in. It happened then. It's happening today. What goes around, comes around. Or what comes around, goes around. Don't make it up, you can put it any way you want to. But it's going to happen. It ain't going to stay the same. But we can stay the same if we'll understand what the Bible is. This is right here, the very words. The very voice of God right here. Because that's the only way he can speak to us. With an audible voice. With a small, still voice, he speaks to us. But yet he's always standing on the outside, knocking. Knocking. Just want somebody to come and answer the door. And turn the doorknob. Or unlatch it. Or whatever they got to do to that door. And say, can I help you, sir? Can I help you? Yeah, I've been wanting to come in and sit down with y'all and see how y'all are doing. He said, but you know, I haven't heard anybody even talk to me in years. You haven't talked to me since you got out of church. You haven't talked to me. I just want to talk to you. I missed the conversations that we had. I missed the fellowship that we had at one time. But I've been knocking at your door for so long, just wanting to come back in. But you won't let me. You never did let me in. See, that's the thing about it. People that's backslidden, cold and indifferent on God, they think themselves that God, He is the one that's got to come back to them and beg and plead and ask them to come back to where He can have fellowship again. He's not going to do that. He's not going to do that. If He done that, then where would we be at? Where would we be sitting? We'd be sitting right where we was before the door, the knock come to the door. Didn't want him to let him in. Why didn't they want to let him in? Because they knew that if they let Jesus in, that they had to give up the lifestyle that they lived. They had to give up certain things in the life. Because God won't let them in with all that baggage. With all the baggage that I was carrying at that time, He wouldn't have saved me. He wouldn't have saved me. But see, I got on my knees and I asked Him to. I begged Him to. And I asked Him, I said, "You have got to lead me." That's the only thing He's asking from anyone today. Just take my hand. Take my hand, follow me. Follow me. I'm not on His side. I'm not in front of Him. I'm trying to take every step and I make sure that it's in line, in alignment with His steps. Because it's that song they used to sing all the day. It used to be one of my favorite songs, but I don't ever hit no more. One day at a time. One day at a time. That's the only way that we can serve Him, is one day at a time. Father, we thank You, Lord Jesus, for this day. And Father, my prayer is, where the people are at today, that where You are there and You're knocking on the heart's door. Father, I pray, Lord Jesus, that in what pain and what misery that they're already in, Father, that the Holy Spirit will not release the pain, the misery and the agony that they're going through. Father, help them, Lord Jesus, come back to You and asked you to help them to follow after you. And Father, we pray once again for them that is backslidden, God, that you may touch their hearts. Touch the people here, we pray. Allow us, the individuals that are here, always stay close to you, Father. And where we know that we are serving you. And Father, I hope and pray. This is my hope and pray. That Lord Jesus, that you will search over each request that we've had, Father, for down the from the months and the years, Father. We pray, Father, Lord Jesus, that you would bring the individual here into the church, Father, to where they can come in, they can have fellowship with us. And yes, Lord, they'll come to an old-fashioned altar. And the Holy Spirit will be so strong on them that they'll just cry out. They won't just cry in a little small, still voice. But they'll cry out loud and making sure the Father, that you hear them. Oh God, we know that you can do it, and we're asking you today. I'm begging you. I'm pleading with you now. With them three words there in the book of Malachi. I think it's chapter 3. And it's where you talk about the tithes and the offering and the storehouse and the windows there in heaven. Father, there's three words that you asked us to come to you with. And you're coming to us and you're asking me, why don't you just be willing to prove me? Prove unto me. Lord Jesus, I'm asking you today. God the Father, I'm asking you today. Holy Spirit, I'm asking you today. Would you please do what you say you will do. Do what you say you will do. And do it, Father. Not because I asked you to do it, but do it because you want it done. I'm asking you to prove yourself. I'm asking you to just prove yourself unto me, Father. And unto these faithful people, these people here that love you, prove unto them, Father, that you can answer and you will answer their prayer. And Father, you can bring the people back to church. Father, you can bring the people here. And Father, yes, they can get saved. They can get saved where we can have to use the baptistry at least once a week, Father. Yes, Father. We're asking you to now, will you please prove to me what your word says? In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen and amen.